You're about to hear an inspiring message from the team at C3 Church Bathurst. It's our prayer that it will spur you to live your best life in Him.
I am a great psalm lover, unapologetic lover of the psalms, and I keep finding gold in here. It says in Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything that is contained." I've got a different version. Sorry, I've slipped translations, but I'll read it anyway. Get an ESV up the back. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell in it. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." You know that? Everything is the Lord's. Everything. You and I belong to God. Your neighbor, friends, the people live in Bathurst, surrounding regions, the houses that we claim our own somehow, the land that is under our feet doesn't belong to us or any particular tribes. It belongs to God. Buildings, people, animals, all of them belong to God because He made it. Fair claim. He made it. But then the psalm goes on, makes this grand sweeping statement that everything in the world belongs to God. Yep, amen. Then he goes, well, but who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? The reference to the Old Testament times when you'd go up the hill to the temple of God in Jerusalem. That's the hill. Who has the privilege to enter the presence of God? Even though He made everything and everyone, not everybody has that privilege to go up to the presence of God. It says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord and who shall stand in His holy place? It says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. It's saying, clean hands and a pure heart is what will allow somebody into the presence of God and allow that life to be blessed, to receive a blessing. And you and I, as Sharon has already reminded us, don't have that by nature. Most of us will admit that things sometimes go a little south in here. But it doesn't matter because we have one who has gone there, who is pure and His advocate for us. So He, Jesus, has gone before us and allows us, and He says, come and stand. And Hebrews 10 actually talks about that idea that we can enter the Holy of Holies, you and I, not because of our own self-righteousness, but because of Jesus. Now, why do I say that? Because when I look at this, I see, who shall stand in the holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. I see the next generation as a generation like this, really. I see them overcoming battles, and I see them with this beautiful, new, fresh generation coming on. And we have paved the way. And it's our job to pass on the baton to the next generation and to guide them and counsel them. And so if you're over 30 or something, it's our job to nurture the next generation and to raise them up. And it doesn't take us out of the race or anything, as Ro has said. So much love the multi-generational church. But at the end of the day, if we don't raise up the next generation, then we will have forgotten something and the church will die out. That's the tragedy that we see around us. Verse 6 says this, such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. I see a generation rising up here who seek God. I see it when I sneak in here on Friday nights in youth. I see worshiping. I see prayer. I see it. Actually, I haven't been to kids' church for a while, but you tell me. And you will tell me. You've been. I need to go to kids' church. Wouldn't it be awesome? A generation of God seekers. It'll change the face of our town, of our planet. So that's the preface. Tina and Lydia, amazing, mighty leaders. They're going to share their heart for the next generation. And then we're going to pray for all of us as we participate in this work. So come and grab the microphone, Tina.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Oh, say like I do in kids' church. You guys sound like you're half asleep. Let's try that again. Good morning. Oh, much better. Very good. It would be remiss of me if I didn't wear my green shirt, which is what we're famous for in kids' church. And I wore it because we wear our scripture, which is our motto, on the back. It says, got kids' church, but it's also got our verse. And the verse that we stand for, and this is the verse. And they will be like trees. So we're talking about the kids. They will be like trees planted by the riverbank, whose roots reach down deep to the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or by the drought, the long months of drought like we're going through. For their leaves are always green, and they will never stop producing fruit. That's what we believe in kids' church. So a lot of the time when we, you know, we pray for the kids and we go out and everything like that, sometimes it feels like, you know, we pray for them, we bless them, we go out. And as we go over, we're like, parents have a good time and we'll go have a good time. But I wanted to let you know is what happens in kids' church. What happens when we go over there? And I say kids' church and big church because we're the same church. We're all the same church. We're the same church. If we have main church, that's the main one and that's the one for the kids. We're the same one. So we have kids' church and big church because you're all much bigger than the kids and me. So that's why we call you big church. So in church, in kids' church, let me just let you know some numbers. We have about 40 kids on our books. We've grown quite considerably this year with adding an extra service. I think we've got anywhere from 10 to 15 new kids just this year. Not because we've been trying, simply because we added another service. And in kids' church, I don't think we set out to, let's grow kids' church. It just kind of happens. You bring families in and it kind of happens. People get pregnant, they have kids, it kind of happens, you know? You don't have to try and go out there and strive to do it at kids' church. It just grows as it grows. And so it's been amazing. But on Sunday, we can have anywhere from 3 kids to 20 kids, and you never know what you're going to get. So you be prepared either way of what you're going to get. And that's from 3 years old through to year 6 who start helping out. And in that group, we have 10 amazing people, 10 people who are our core team. And they serve one Sunday a month, one service, one Sunday a month. And we also have about five to seven adults or other people who come in and serve once every couple of months, and they help us out as well. And we love to have new people coming in. We also have 12 young people, 12 youth that come in, and they help by serving what we call our mighty ones, which are 3 to 5 year olds. They're small and mighty. That's why we call them the mighty ones. And they come and they serve regularly and they give of their time. And Kids Church, the way it runs is that we run it just like a normal. We run a church service for them. We have songs, we have worship, we have God time, we have an offering. Well, we used to have offering, but we have time, ministry time, and then we have, you know, connect time, play time, that sort of thing. So we have kids' church specifically for them. And in that time, we serve as well the same vision that we have here in church, to revive, restore, release. And how do we do that? Well, every Sunday and most Sundays, we will give an altar call or a call to connect with God, to say, you know what, God, I haven't done well. I've messed up. Jesus, I want to know you. Because we don't know how long it'll take for the message to go from here down to here. It doesn't matter how many times a child puts their hand up and say, yes, I want Jesus in my heart. If it needs to be 10 times, 20 times, 50 times, 100 times, 500 times before the message finally goes clunk and the Holy Spirit finally goes, that's you. I want you. Give me your heart. And that's why we give that message all the time. You want to come, respond. And I don't discourage ever a child to say, yes, okay, I'll be brave, I'll put up my hand. Because that could be that time. So I say, yes, go, yep, that's awesome. come forward. And we always do that. So we've had many dedications and salvations, so much so that sometimes it's hard to keep track of because they're always wanting to do that, which is exciting, and I love that. So we believe in that. We also believe in the Bible, in building that foundation. We're talking about the roots growing deep down to the water. I believe that at least half of the kids in Kids Church know all the books of the Bible, and probably about three quarters of them are still on the way to doing that. So it'll be interesting to see who here knows all the 66 books of the Bible. But we do that because, you know, it's getting that the Word of God down deep. How can we read the Bible if we don't know it? So it's a start. And then what we do as well is that we, every term, have an overarching memory verse that the kids will learn. And so this term, we're learning all about the fruits of the Spirit. And so they're learning every week what a fruit means. Do we eat fruit and we get that gift? Is that what it is? So we learn about what the fruit of the Spirit and how we get it. That's what's happening this term. But after a while, for the older ones anyway, they go, yeah, I know that verse now. What else? So some of them will learn two, maybe three, maybe more scriptures. And so they're learning these memory verses that are getting in their head and that are getting in their heart like seeds. Like we were talking about those trees that the roots are growing down deep. So we're putting a foundation in these kids that they can grow for the rest of their lives. And the other thing is that we rely very much on the Holy Spirit. We take time specifically each service after we have the message. We then have a time of worship. And that time is really important. Even though we have worship in here, we have specific worship for the kids. And they love that. Like one time we had a little boy say, can we just like worship all the time, like worship all day? I was like, well, that would be really cool. But, you know, we do need to do a few other things. And we love that. We love that they love it. But also, it's amazing to me how many times God uses the worship to get through to the kids that I don't know what to do with, or it's hard to get through. So there was one boy that sometimes is disconnected and sometimes a little more challenging to get a hold of and to engage with. He came forward one time and he said, can we sing that Reckless Love song in Kids Church? And I'm like, sure, no problem, let's do that. And he went from being the one at the back chatting, yeah, I'm going to dance, this is cool, to being the one at the front, raising his hands and worshipping, because that song got to him in his heart and says, God loves me with a reckless love that's chasing after me and he's not going to let me go because he loves me. And that just really spoke to me and go, you know what? God is speaking through those songs to these kids because those words matter. So we worship, and then after worship we have what we call God time or quiet time, where we take time just to stop and be and listen to Jesus and listen to the Holy Spirit. Because in our world today, we have so much going on, so much going on. We've got technology. We've got people telling you need to do this, you should do that. They're friends and, you know, oh, is it cool to do this or not? But so many things going on for them that it's important to take the time to stop and to just be and to let the Holy Spirit speak to them. It's also good for us because they get to be quiet for a little while. And especially for some of these kids, you know, that's really hard because they're really excited and they're just always moving. But just to see them stop and just to be and to be with Jesus and to be themselves and to be with him. And so we ask them to talk to the Holy Spirit about what your week's been like, about what's going on, what's on your heart, and then take the time to stop. To stop and listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to you. And it's amazing the things that they speak. They speak to, that God speaks to them in their heart. And because Jesus loves kids. He does. And you can tell this because of the scripture in the Bible where parents bring their kids to Jesus and the disciples say, what are you doing that for? He's busy doing the ministry, you know, he's doing the proper things and you need to do in order to do the big things. And I love this because the thing he says is he hears what happens to the disciples. And Jesus saw what is happening and he became angry with the disciples and he said to them, let the children come to me and don't stop them. Don't stop them from coming. Like, come on, you need to be quiet. He said, for the kingdom of God belongs to children like this, the children such as this, because children are so precious to him, so precious to God because of their hearts, because they just believe. You say that the Holy Spirit can come and live in your heart and you want him to come in there and they say yes and they're like, okay, let's do it. So this person needs to be prayed for. Let's pray that God will heal them. Okay, let's pray. They just believe. They do. So where are we going from here? Well, I believe that we're going to grow more. As the church grows, we're going to grow more, which means our team is going to grow, which is really exciting. At the moment, we're growing and we're doing new things and people are doing more in Kids Church. This morning, we had somebody preaching for the first time and leading for the first time in a long time. So God is doing things not just in our kids, but in our teams. God is building our teams and challenging our teams to grow. Because as we grow and as we do more and as we step out, the thing is the enemy wants to stop stuff from happening. And he is against kids and youth in growing close to him. Because the statistics are horrible. When you look at statistics, when it comes to kids, 1 in 7 kids are going to develop anxiety or depression with all the pressures that have got going on. The enemy is out to stop these kids from having that relationship with him and from building those foundations, from digging those roots down deep into him. He wants to stop that. But when the kids get a hold of the Holy Spirit, when they get a hold of the Word of God, the enemy can't stop them. Because once they get it, they get it. And they go for it, which is absolutely amazing. Because I heard somebody say a little while ago, a very good friend of mine said to me, there's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as the Holy Spirit for the adults and the Holy Spirit for the kids. That's the same Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is for kids as well. Because it says in Acts 2:17 that on the last day, in these last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Because your young people are going to grow and they're going to get to know the Holy Spirit more and more. And that kids are going to grow in their relationships with God. They're going to hear his voice because as they do it in kids' church, they says in the Bible, my sheep know my voice. These kids are going to know his voice and go, oh, you want me to do that? Okay. And they're going to be bold in their faith. They're going to be bold in their faith to pray for people, to see things change in their world. And our youth are going to grow. We're going to grow kids into youth that are on fire for God and are going to know the Word of God and are going to know how to move in the Holy Spirit and are going to go further than when we've ever been before. We're starting from this platform and they're going to go further than we have. Because if that's not what's going to if we don't do that, then we're not doing our job properly because they're going to go further than what we have and the next generation is going to go further than that. That's what I believe, because the Holy Spirit is going to help these kids to do that, and he's going to anoint them to do that.
Love your heart and your passion, Tina. Thank you. So Kids Church is in good hands, safe hands, and we work hard at every level at Kids Church, you know, from child safety, sort of what you do and don't do, and, you know, it's complex these days. Hey, it's not just, hey, go and... But it's not just babysitting either. We teach and impart. So Lydia, come and share. Now this is so exciting. We've got a whole bunch of youth teenagers and CSU this year. We launched Life Christian Students with Beth, partner in crime, and a few others up there. And it's exciting to see what's going on. And come and share, Lydia. Give Lydia a hand as she comes up.
So So the next generation is literally the future of this city, this nation, and the globe. The spiritual health of our next generation determines the health of church in the future. If our kids and youth aren't invested into, if they don't develop their own relationship with God, if they don't develop a passion for prayer and for the word, if they don't, if they aren't discipled, and if they don't go on to disciple others, if they don't know what they believe and why they believe it, then the future health of our church isn't going to be good. And neither is the future health of our community and city. Ultimately, God will have his way and his kingdom will continue to advance. But we can see time and time again through scriptures where generations turned away from God, where they lost sight of who God is and what he had done for them. It actually significantly delayed what God was wanting to do in and through them, and in some cases stopped them from receiving what God had for them. And a prime example of that is actually with the Israelites, when God rescued them from Egypt, and a journey that should have taken 11 days ended up taking 40 years because they kept turning away from God. They kept getting focused on other things. They had unbelief, disobedience, and were focused on idols. And that whole generation died out and didn't actually receive the promised land and step into it apart from Joshua and Caleb. And there's a passage in Joshua 1. Ooh, I can find it. 1-9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses." And I'm going to skip down to, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous." And we want the next generation to be a Joshua generation, that see God do the miraculous, that have the faith to believe for what is seemingly impossible, that step into what God has for them, that rather than step back in fear and in doubt, will step forward in faith and take a hold of the promises of what God has for them. And these are just some of the many reasons why it's so important for us to invest in our next generation, to invest into their lives and their spiritual maturity. And our heartbeat for C3 Youth Connect is to see the youth of Bathurst come alive in Christ, for them to discover a personal relationship with Jesus where they discover their passion, purpose, and position in him. Their passion being their gifting, whether that be their spiritual gifting or their natural gifting. Their purpose being the calling that God has on their life, and position to know their identity and their authority in Christ, to know that their identity doesn't come from what other people say. It doesn't come from social media. It doesn't come from popular opinion. It doesn't come from how they feel about themselves, but it comes from the Word of God. It comes from God himself, and it's immovable and unshaking. And two of our core scriptures are Romans 1:16 and Ephesians 3:20. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews and then to the Gentile." We want our youth to be so on fire and sold out for God that they aren't ashamed, that they boldly and proudly proclaim that they're Christians, that they share their faith with their friends, that they do not step back when there's an opportunity, but they step forward. And Ephesians 3:20, "Of now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think," that they would understand and have a grasp that God is so much bigger than they can imagine, that he will work powerfully in and through them, that he didn't just do miracles in the Bible and it's not just something we read about, but it's something that God's wanting to do in and through them in the here and now. And we have so many testimonies of our youth growing in their relationship with God. Majority of our youth have come from a Christian background, but a lot of them have gotten to a point where, you know, in teen years, you're like, oh, too cool for school, and you're just like, Yeah. you guys know. You know what I'm talking about. But to see that transformation of them where they go from kind of being a bit disengaged and a bit like, oh, I've grown up with this thing, I don't know if I want it, to see them engage, to see them develop their own personal relationship, to see them get on fire for God, to see them get water baptized, baptizing the Holy Spirit, to start to have gifts awaken within them, to start to speak to their friends about it and see some of their friends come along to youth and get saved and stay in youth, which is incredible. And we've got some youth who are from a totally non-Christian background, whose families are not Christian, and they've come in, they've experienced the love of God, and they've seen what our youth have, and they've wanted it for themselves, and they've stayed, and their families are starting to see a difference in them and starting to question. And it's just incredible to see what God can do in a young person that can change an entire family. And so we're believing that some of those youth that are coming along, where a particular person comes to mind where her family are just like, nah, we don't want anything to do with church. You can go to youth on Friday, but you cannot go to church on Sunday, and we're not going, that God is going to move in that family, and we're going to see that whole family come to Christ. And I want you guys to imagine with me, we have about 30 youth on our books, if everyone was to show up, but we want to see 100 youth here in this place. Well, not this place because we won't fit, but our next building. Because imagine what 100 on fire, sold out, passionate youth who are unashamed, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who have been set free, and who are passionate, believe in the Word of God and believe in prayer. Imagine what they could do. And imagine there is about 7 other youth groups across this city. Imagine if every single one of those youth groups tripled. There'd be over 700 young people in this city who are on fire for God. Imagine the difference that they could make in the schools, where they're at, in their workplaces, in their sports teams, in their families. Imagine what could happen. And God gave me this. Actually, before I share that, I want you guys to think, each of you guys that are here today, you're here, one, because of the grace of God, but also because someone invested into you, someone prayed for you, someone believed in you, someone shared the gospel with you, someone encouraged you, someone taught you. And that's what we want to do for our next generation. And one person who did that for me, I came to C3 5 years ago now, Ro. I was a very broken and insecure teenager, and I'm sorry you had to put up with a lot. but she was so patient with me. She believed in me. She poured out her prayers on me. She encouraged me. She showed me scriptures, and my parents too, of course. And I've had many people since then invest and believe into me. And that's all of our responsibility for our next generation, that I want you guys to partner with me and to partner with our, I have the most incredible youth team ever. They are so passionate. They are so bold. They are so talented. And just the way they invest and pour it out in youth is unbelievable. But I want you guys to partner with us, because it's not just us youth leaders, but it's all of you guys, to uphold the youth and the kids in prayer, to believe in them, to encourage them. And in you being you and in you being passionate the way you are, the youth see that, and they will want it for themselves. And we want church to be the most attractive thing in their life, that what they see out on social media, what they see out on TV, what they see in their schools, that does not compare to what they see in church, where they see people's lives transform, where they see people passionate and alive and joyful and living their best life and having fun along the way, because church is fun. The Christian life is meant to be fun. And also at times hard, but fun. And so I would love for you guys to partner with us in that. And a picture that God gave me when I first started taking on youth last year is, I see the youth rising up, a next generation of leaders, of people with influence and good standing in the community. I see a youth that is alive in Christ, that are confident, bold, and steadfast in who God has created them to be, who know their authority in Christ and don't bow down to the culture and status quo of this world, who believe in the power of prayer and the Word of God and declare it over their lives, who aren't afraid to speak up for what is right, for what they believe in. I see a youth that reaches out to the people around them, to their community, who are outward focused, who can see beyond themselves. I see a youth that are free and filled with the Holy Spirit, who operate in the gifts and experience the miraculous wonders of God. I see youth who understand that God is loving, gracious, powerful beyond measure, and present in the good, the bad, and the ugly. A youth that understand that God isn't dead and church and faith are still relevant today. I see a youth that are passionate about the house of God, who love coming to church, love bringing their friends, and see church as a place they can call home. And it's our responsibility collectively, church, no matter what age demographic you are. You're not too old to minister to the youth. You're not irrelevant. Your wisdom, your experiences, what you have is so crucial and needs to be imparted into them as well. And so I just encourage you to lift them up in prayer, speak life into them, encourage them. If you see them doing something that's awesome, tell them about it because you want to encourage that. I'm excited for what God's going to do in our next generation.
Wow. I wanted you to hear the heart of these two ladies. I wanted you to get a taste of their passion for what they do. Completely voluntary, completely given lots and lots of time to this. This doesn't come easily. And I wanted to stand with them, and we're going to stand in a second and pray for you too and for your teams. But also to say prayer is so key. Prayer for next generation. And this whole thing is part of life build because again, it's about practical facilities. We want to invest practically in the next generation.
Thanks for listening. We would love to connect with you. Our services are on Sundays at 217 Howick Street at 10 a.m. for a 10:30 service. Or visit us on the web at c3churchbathurst.org.
Come like a river, come like a flood. Let us be overwhelmed, baptized in you.